Well, good morning, everyone. I call you blessed. Isn't God good this morning? Say it with me, the Lord is good, and His mercy does endure forever. Amen, He sure does. Why don't we stand and pray this morning? And that gives everyone an opportunity or a few more opportunity to come in and take their seat this morning. Father, we are just so grateful. Put a hand over your heart, one hand to heaven. That's where help comes from heaven. Father, we thank you today in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will teach us. Of course, you use us, Lord, but we thank you that ultimately it's what the Spirit of God is saying to the hearts and lives of your people. Even through the Word of God, you make it real. And so we thank you for quickening us according to your word, that every good thing that's in Christ and in us, we will see, possess, and walk in like never before. And it's all in Jesus' name that we ask it and thank you for it. Amen. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, I call you blessed this morning. You may be seated. We want to welcome everyone. Amen. We do call you blessed. And Pastor Debbie sends her blessings. Amen. She'll be leading our evening service, which is on prayer tonight once again. That's why I'm here today. Want to welcome everyone online as well. Amen. We know that you're going to receive as well. I think it's good that we should put our hands together for everyone online. Amen. Well, we're going to jump right in this morning, and we've been doing a series, and I'm going to continue as long as I'm here. Doing the healing center, the good fight of faith, because I haven't even arrived yet where I thought I was going to start at. Praise the Lord, but it's all right. I think the other side of this has been it's like a coin. It's got two sides, heads and tails. Both of them spin the same way. So the other side isn't any more less valuable than the other side. And I thought I was going to go in a particular direction in this series of messages, but when I got going, the other side of it stood out to me so much so that eventually we will get to the other side. And if we don't, I've made the decision that when I start ministering back again on Wednesday nights, I'll just pick up there and do it on Wednesday nights. So you're going to get it either way. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're not escaping it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not escaping it. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Again, we're talking about the good fight of faith, and we have that phrase here. So it's so wonderful. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what I want you to understand today and look at is notice it's called a faith fight. Notice it says, fight the good fight of faith. So notice it's called a faith fight, not a devil fight. And although the devil certainly does oppose us, and we'll have to resist him and exercise our authority over him in our life, it's called here a faith fight. And it's called a faith fight because we found it's really talking about the fight the believer exerts or has to exert sometimes to actually stay in faith. Having to know faith is the victory that overcomes this world. And so there's the staying power of faith, or you could say it like this. It is the stand in faith that we learn to take, that this is talking about the good fight of faith. So we could say it like this. The good fight of faith is learning how to take the stand of faith on God's word. Amen. Being unmoved by anyone or anything. How many know things are going to oppose us? Not just the devil, but the people around us, circumstances, situations, and certainly what you wake up feeling with every morning. So I'll say it again. The good fight of faith is learning how to take a stand of faith on God's word, being unmoved by anyone or anything that would try to throw us off or move us from our stand of faith on the word of God. And so what we found is one way we fight the good fight of faith is by number three, the third slide, which says this, I do that by identifying with Jesus Christ and his triumph over Satan and with all that salvation has given me. Amen. So what we've been doing is looking at this phrase, notice once again, by identifying with Jesus Christ. We've been looking at this phrase and what it actually means, because this is important. Pastor Deb and I grew up, one of our spiritual mentors who went home to be with the Lord in 2003 was Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. He had a statement that I think goes good here. He says, you know, sometimes the Word of God, or there's phrases in the Word of God that can be a little blind to us. Now, what he meant by that was that without understanding it, in other words, we're blind to the understanding of it. We're not sure what exactly means. And without understanding what something means, without understanding, that means we don't really know what that means. And without knowing what it really means, we can't have revelation knowledge of it. And revelation knowledge is how the kingdom of God works, is how we receive everything from God. So God doesn't want us to be blind to, so to speak, or have a lack of understanding about this phrase, identifying with Jesus Christ, because it's our identity in Jesus Christ that we actually are going to learn how that God designed that place be the place that we operate in and win from. And so we've been looking at what that means. In today's message, we're just going to entitle The Power of Identification. And actually, we've been talking about identification in its different forms for several weeks now. But today, once again, we're going to talk about the power of identification. And I believe I'm finally going to get to the place where I want it to get here. Amen. And so the phrase identifying with Jesus Christ means our identity with Jesus Christ. I think you need to write that down. If you take your notes, I'm going to say this again, really clear, make it very simple to us. The phrase identifying with Jesus Christ means our identity with Jesus Christ. And so what we're doing is finding out what that identity looks like, what it is, and what it means for us. So we're learning how, by knowing our identity with or in Jesus Christ, we not only have the victory over Satan, but how to fight the good fight of faith by it. Because we're going to fight the good fight of faith by our understanding of identifying with Jesus Christ, or our identity in Jesus Christ. And so in the New Testament, especially in the Pauline epistles. Now, when I say the Pauline epistles, you need to understand, I mean the letters to the churches. The word epistle means letters. So particularly the letters that are written by Paul, the Pauline epistles, those particular letters that he wrote, primarily them, in the New Testament, in those letters, he talks about our identification with Jesus Christ, or our identity in Christ, which both mean the same thing. There are actually five key phrases revealing our identification or our identity in Christ. And I'm going to give you those five key phrases. And then I'm going to talk about that for a moment, because this is very vital to us. I'm going to help you. These five key phrases that talk about our identity are the five phrases: in Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Lord, and in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to say that again. These five key phrases are in Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Lord, or in the Spirit. Now, what Brother Hagin used to always say is this. He said, one way, not the only way. Happen to know there's a lot of different ways that you could study your Bible. This is what we're getting ready to talk about. He says, one way, not the only way, you could get better at understanding your Bible. One great way to do it is go through the New Testament, and especially the epistles, the letters written by Paul. And every place you see one of these five words, you put a circle around. Because this is telling you about your and my identity in Christ. This actually tells us three key things: who we are, what we have or possess and inheritance, who we are, identity. That's identification. If I said, show me your identification, you can pull out your identity. It's one of the same. So it shows us our identity, it shows us our inheritance, or what belongs to us, and it shows us what we can do, the power to live this life, or our authority. These key phrases reveal that. However, we're focusing on the identity side, and it's very important. These five key phrases are primarily the way that you'll find them in the King James Version. Yet many of us, and likely we should, read other translations, and that's fine. You'll find that those five key phrases may be expanded or said a little differently in other translations. Like, for say, it could say in union with or united with Christ. The phrase in union with Christ or united with Christ. They all mean the same thing. It's talking about our identity in Christ. One of the great things that one of the, you know, I'm just so thankful. I think we should put together our hands for the Healing Center team. They do such a wonderful job, Pastor Debbie and her team. Put our hands together for them. I think they do such a wonderful job. Actually, one of them handed me this. They didn't know I was going to even be sharing this today, but they felt inspired to show me this. These are the, they have this sheet back there that will help you tremendously, the in him or in Christ scripture. So you notice here, in Christ, in him, with him, in whom, in the Lord, but also has several others, like in the beloved, through him, by him. They all mean the same thing, okay? And they give you the scripture references of this. I'm telling you, when you do a Bible study like this and you get this in your heart, because many times we say, you know, it's wonderful. I know who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of the living God. Well, we better know, and we better know he is the Messiah. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But you know, if we really know who he is, we also know what he does. And he is just as much a healer as he is a savior. And so we're not looking to get to heaven to get healed. We're coming to a place like this to hear the word of God so we can receive our healing. So we know who we are and what we have because of we are in him. Amen. And so we not only find out who he is, but the beautiful thing is everybody, you know, if we took a picture, a group picture, if we at the end today all came up here and we stood together and I had someone to take a picture and then all up, they blew it up and put it on the board. You know the first place your eye is going to try to find? You know who it's going to try to find? You. And many times you determine whether that picture is good or not by how you are looking in it. If your eyes are closed or you are yawning or you're looking the other way, say, oh, we can't use that picture because I ain't looking good. You know, who are you looking for? You're looking for you. Yeah. Amen. The point is that so many times we are uninterested in the Bible to the point of and the reason of we are unable to identify ourselves with the Word of God and where the Word actually talks about us. These scriptures, all of this, approximately 130 to 180 of them, that actually, although they're talking about Christ, they're talking about who you and I are in him. So we don't have a mistaken identity, and we're not an afterthought of Almighty God. We are the apple of his eye, and we can actually find out who we are, what we have, and what we can possess by these scriptures. Amen. And so that is so powerful in and of itself. So actually, these five key phrases are revealing our identification with Jesus Christ. And so I say five key because in the King James Version, they're primarily translated that way. But as you can see, they're translated other ways in other translations. It would do us good to know them all. It's important to know and remember this important truth I'm about to convey, because I have conveyed it a couple other times in this, but I want us to remember this, that God considers and he sees all mankind. You know, it's important to know how God sees us, how he views all mankind. So think about it one moment. We find this, you can write it down. I've shared it before. I'm going to do it really briefly today, but it'll help us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, it's important for us to know and remember that God considers and sees all mankind either identified with or identified in Adam, or identified with, or identified with Christ. So we're either identified, all of mankind is either, God sees them either identified with or in Adam, or identified with or in Christ. Can I get an amen? What we need to understand is we get in Adam or our identity from Adam by our natural birth in the earth. You can't help that. You cannot help or change that you have an identity or you had an identity with Adam through your natural birth. All humanity has that. Romans 5:12 tells us that through Adam, sin came, and sin with sin came, passed upon death, passed upon all men. So we find this in, by our natural birth, we are identified with Adam. That's how God sees us. But we find out this, we get in Christ, or when we get in Christ, or our identity from Christ by the new birth at salvation. So although we get our identity from Adam by our natural birth, we get our identity from Christ by the new birth at salvation. And so the good news is at salvation, if we are saved, we get a brand new identity. Amen. Now you don't lose the natural part of who you are, but I want us to understand this, in the mind and the thought of God, when we get in Christ, our identity from Christ at new birth, at salvation, then God sees us this way, with this brand new spiritual identity. And this is what God says about us. And here's what I want us to understand. The truth is, whatever happens to us, or happened to us in Christ, when we find out about whatever happened to us in Christ, is bigger than anything else that's happened to you in life. Bigger. Greater. So in other words, this new spiritual identity that we get not only changes our past, it changes who we are. That no matter what's happened to us to destroy our life, when we get in Christ, it changes that to the degree that not only is everything new, but we actually go in a brand new direction. And we have not only something new, but we have whatever Christ has. Yes. So this is the beautiful thing about that. In Christ, or you could say these five phrases that we talked about, what were they again? In Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Lord, in the Spirit. These five phrases simply yet powerfully mean that when we got saved, we got identified with Christ, or get a new identity. We get His identity. We take on Jesus' identity. And that's what it means to be in Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ. Now, it's the one thing to steal somebody's identity. But I can tell you one thing. You didn't even have to steal Christ's identity. He gave you His identity. And you better be glad, because every one of the riches of God are stored up in Him. And we're going to find out about that today. Amen. So we actually got put in Him, or into Christ. When we get saved, in the mind of God, God actually puts us in Him, or into Christ. You know, in is a preposition. See, what we have to understand is that when we get saved, the Bible tells us that as believers, we get baptized into the body of Christ. Isn't that right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's not water baptism. That's being baptized. The word, and to understand that, it just means this. The word baptized there means to be placed into. We get placed into. We get placed into Christ. Who we were is not who we are, because God takes us from who we were and puts us into Christ. I have news for us. We all look a lot better in Christ than we do in ourselves. Come on. And our problem is, to the degree we see ourselves in Christ will be the degree that we walk in victory. Because as long as the devil can get you to see and have you to walk in who you used to be, or in the flesh, or instead of in the spirit, and who you are in Christ by being placed into Christ, will be the degree that you actually either walk in defeat or victory. So we actually got put in Him, or into Christ. God did that by His Holy Spirit. We're actually, remember, baptized, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you could read that. We actually get baptized into the body of Christ, or we actually get placed. It means to be placed into. So we get to put, that's what it means to get in Christ. So what we have become is, we have become united to, or in union with Christ, or think about this, we have become one in Christ. One in Christ. You know, just like a husband and wife become one flesh, did you know you become one in the spirit with Christ? Pretty powerful. I would say that again. Just like a husband and wife become one flesh, God says that when we get in Christ, we get one spirit in Him. Now, whatever that means, this, that whatever is true about Christ is true about us. It means that His triumph and victory becomes our triumph and victory as well. Because God sees us, God considers us, God treats us one as the same. God treats us as one and the same because of our union and our identity with or in Christ Jesus. If we will remember one of the messages before, we actually looked at several of the definitions of identification. One of the definitions of identification, what it means to consider or treat as one and the same. Amen. This is why I'm going to say it again. God, when He sees us in Christ, God considers us or treats us as one and the same because of our union and because of our identity with or in Jesus Christ. If we could ever get it, which we are, amen, that we have a brand new identity. Who you are is not who you used to be. And you have a brand new spiritual identity. Yes, you still have your natural name and there's some natural characteristics, but you're not to operate in this old life. You're to operate in your new life by your new identity. Yes, there's things you need your name by and this and other, but did you know that the Bible says, even in James chapter, I believe it's chapter 2, that you even got a new name that you're called by? It's the name of Christ. It says in the King James Version, by the worthy name that you've been called. Well, who's that worthy name you've been called by? By Jesus Christ. Because the moment you got put into Christ, or put into Jesus Christ, you not only took Him on, but you took on His name. You take on what it means, because God, when He sees Christ, when He sees you, He sees Christ. And He treats us as one and the same. Now, how are we seeing it? See, what we have to understand is, this is the power of identification. And as we put up slide 8 today, which we looked at one time before, I want us to take a few moments here and begin to look at this. Because what we must understand, I'm not going to take a lot of time here, but I'm not trying to rush through this. I'm trying to reiterate the important facts, or actually the important truths concerning this. So identification conveys two main ideas or thoughts. The thoughts of union and, or union with, and identity. Notice the two thoughts that it conveys. We on your left hand side of the screen, identity. On your right hand side of the screen, notice the arrow codes to union with. Do you see that? Identification conveys these two ideas, main ideas, union and identity with. And so through our faith in Jesus Christ, we get what through our faith, the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the moment we get saved, we get what the Bible calls in Christ it. We get in Christ. Or you could say, we get in Christ it. You better be thank God you're in Christ it. Amen. Because everything you get from God is from that place. We actually get put into Christ. We become united with Christ, or in a union with Christ. Now notice here, these two thoughts, identity and union with. We become a new creation who is one with Christ. Amen. So I don't know how, I just brought this bucket. This may be a poor illustration. Everybody sees this bucket, but so say this is Christ. The moment you and I got saved, we got, and say this is us, we got put into Him. So we're in Him, but He's in us. The Scripture makes it very clear that not only are we in Him, but He is in us. Greater is who? He that's in who? You, than he that's in the world. And through our union with Him, not only are through our union or our oneness with Him, we get a brand new identity. We get His identity in Christ. And so when God sees you, He don't see you as in your old identity. He sees you through Christ. And He sees you one and the same as Christ. Now this changes everything. When you see, this is why I've spent possibly 4 weeks on just this, because this revelation here could possibly be one of the greatest revelations in the New Testament and important to our lives, to our faith, and for us to receive everything from God. Because if we don't know who God is and what He's done for us, and importantly, who we have become in Him, then we'll never boldly receive or walk in what God has willed for us in Christ, which includes healing. Now, you know, I haven't mentioned the word healing except maybe two times since, but I want you to know everything I'm talking about today has everything to do whether we will receive healing from God. We may receive it a brand new way. Thank God that God gives us all these ways to receive healing, by through the laying on of hands, the believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, by anointing with oil, by prayer cloths, all these different ways, by two agreeing, all these different ways that God called for the elders of the church, all these different ways, the prayer of faith, all these ways. But this is a way for sure, that when we just understand who God has made us, and by identity in Christ and what it means to be in Christ and what He's provided for us, our faith rises to a level that all we do is just simply receive and stand in who God has made us in Christ, because in Christ is everything that we have need of. The triumph, the victory, the life, the healing, it's all there. It is all there. We're in Him and He's in us. Does that make sense? And so we become new creations who are identical to Christ in the Spirit, and that's how God sees and treats us. Matter of fact, you can't see my keys, you can hear them. And that's how God appreciates you and I to be. You can't even see yourself because you're in Christ. And He appreciates that nobody else can see you either. They can only hear you, and they can see Christ while you're talking and hear Christ while you're talking. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Amen. Make sure I don't forget my keys, somebody. Praise the Lord, because I may pick that back up here in a minute. Moment I leave out here, I'll find out that I don't have them. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's talk about this one moment. Let's talk about this where our union with Christ, that means our oneness with Christ, we become one with Him in the Spirit. How that is the doorway, that when we get put in Christ and get one with Him, that's when we get our new identity. We get it all at the same time. But that's the doorway. So you don't have an identity without being one with Him, or identified with Him, or in union with Him. That's how you get a new identity, by being in Christ it. And that means to be put in union with Him. Union with Him. Joined to Him. United to Him. So let's look at some scripture verses that will bring this home. Well, let's look at a few with the time that we have left today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Notice this. It says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. See, notice it didn't say one flesh, because God is not a flesh. God is spirit. You're one spirit with Him. That's why, because you're united with Him in the spirit and in your spirit and at the spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Amplified translation says it like this. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Notice the words united to the Lord. United with. United to or united with the Lord, united to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him or in Him, in Christ. I love how the New Living Bible, the Living Bible says this. It says, but if you give yourself to the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person. Man, that's powerful. Say this with me. We are one with Christ. I hope you're getting this. We are one with Christ. I love this. But if you give yourself to the Lord, in other words, the moment, see, we don't understand everything that's happened because we heard the preacher say, come give your heart to Jesus Christ. We know the Holy Spirit is leading us to Christ. We know He died for our sins. We know our sins could be forgiven. We know the only way we can be right with God is by making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. But we don't see what God sees when we do that. We walk away and probably know our sins will be forgiven. We know now that we are a child of God and we're on our way to heaven. And we thank God for that, and we kind of feel like we done hung the moon somewhere. Amen. And wonderful. And that's the right way to feel. But there's so much more to that. Because notice, when that happened, it actually means that when you gave yourself to the Lord, not only you're saved, but because you gave yourself to the Lord, now you and Christ are joined together as one person. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You are a child of the Most High God who has, through their union or uniting with Christ, has a brand new identity. And you not only take on a new identity, but it's the same identity that Christ Jesus, our Lord, has. And everything He possesses, we possess. That's powerful. Because we're one with Him, we are one with Jesus Christ. Our identification with Christ, this uniting, this union with, gives us or produces in us our new identity. This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you know it. It says, if any man be what? In Christ. So you could say in union with Christ. You could say united with Christ, joined to Christ, however you want to say it. That's what in Christ means. It means identified with. In other words, if any man, this means that you get where you get your new identity. If any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a brand new creature. He is a new creature. You're not an old creature. You're a new creature. A brand new species that never existed before. That's what one translation says. You know what kind of species you are? One that never existed before. It is a spiritual species. Jesus Christ came to create a new race of human beings. A new race of human beings in whom God could dwell and through whom God could work. It's a spiritual race. It ain't based upon color, creed, or gender, or culture, or anything of those things. It's a spiritual race. A new creation, or he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is why I like the Amplified translation. It says like this. The old previous moral and spiritual condition, the old previous moral and spiritual condition is passed away. The new life has begun. The new life in what? In Christ has begun. You got a brand new identity. Because of your union with Christ, you have a brand new identity. If you have been joined to Christ, you're one in the Spirit. You're a new person in Christ. You have a brand new identity. This is why the New Living Translation of this verse says that the old life is gone and the new life is begun. What life has begun? Your life in Christ, a new spiritual life, a brand new. So much greater than your old life that whatever happened to us in our old life is swallowed up by this new life. Whatever damaged us in this old life, Christ came to undo. Everything Satan did in Adam, when Christ came, he undid it. And whatever was wrecking our life in the flesh and in our old life is made new and changed, so we get the identical life, not of Adam, because we had his in Adam we had his same condition. It was fallen. We had his same inheritance, which was the curse. Come on. And we had his same defeat. But in Christ, hallelujah, we got his identity. We got his identical inheritance, and now we got the authority and the power to live this new life. We live under the blessing of God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So I'm going to say it again, our identification with Christ, this uniting, this union with, gives us or produces in us a new identity. This is why in Romans chapter 13, verses 14, we're going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, instead, fully immerse yourself into the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one. In other words, we're going to have to, the King James Version says, put on. So in other words, how do you put, you know, the scripture tells us about putting on Christ. You say, well, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. But see, the reason why the Bible says that we have to put on Christ, because we have to remind ourselves that we are in him. So what does it mean that, how do we put on Christ? We do that by thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words. We put ourselves in Christ, putting on the new man. How we put on the new man is by thinking faith thoughts. These thoughts that we're talking about right here, how you see yourself in Christ and speaking faith words, how you call yourself a new creature in Christ. How you call yourself the righteousness of God in Christ. How you speak all the in Christ scriptures. How you think about them, see yourself in them, and say about them is how you put Christ on. Notice it says, instead, fully immerse yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. King James Version says, put on Christ. The anointed one, see, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former what? Identity. To awaken its selfish desires. See, stop looking at who you used to be. Well, you know, Pastor Chris, I can't help it. I grew up this way, and my mama thought bad, and I was abused, and then my fifth grade teacher called me stupid, and I've had this complex ever since 1934, and for the last 90 years, I've been messed up. See, as long as you think that and speak that, then you don't put that on formal identity on. You don't put it on. How do you put it on? By the wrong thinking and the wrong words. The same way we reverse that is by putting on Christ, by thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words. And he told us, don't even give a moment's thought about your former identity. But instead, give your thoughts totally unto, immerse yourself in who you are in Christ. See, this is where we're really supposed to be studying at. This is what we're supposed to be looking at. And every day, I realize the Bible has so many topics. The Bible has so many wonderful things that we need to learn. But let me tell you, a lesson served well for all of us. No matter what you study or what you read, and we should try to expand our horizons, no matter what you do, every day there needs to be time that you spend that this is set aside for what I'm talking about right here. I do this every day. I have like 12 personal scriptures. There'll be no more personal to me than there were to you. They're in Christ scriptures that speak to me, that tell me who I am, what I have, and what I can do. as a 12 or 14 or something like that, I meditate on them every day. Every day of my life, I spend time thinking on them, seeing myself in them, and speaking them over my life. And it will serve us well because the Bible says we're to fully immerse ourselves in this. Fully immerse ourselves in this. Go swimming in it. Come on. Get wet in this. Stop drowning in your old life. Well, you know, I'll never have nothing. I'll never amount to nothing. And you may never say it, but if your thought, see, the problem is so many times we're not just hung by a tongue. We say, well, I've stopped saying all the wrong things, Pastor Chris. Yeah, but what's in your thought life? Because a lot of times we lose by default because we haven't learned to cast down the imaginations. We've stopped saying the wrong thing, but we have not stopped thinking the wrong thing. You say, well, I'm not saying the wrong thing. That's wonderful. But the way you stop thinking the wrong thing is by replacing it with the right thing and then begin saying the right thing over you. Refusing. Go swimming in this, not your past. Praise the Lord. Ephesians, I must hurry. Ephesians 4, verse 22, verse 24. I appreciate the way you're pulling today. Amen. You really are. And he has taught you, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Now listen to this. We're reading it from the Passion Translation. Many of translations are wonderful in these portions of Scripture, but I'm going to use this today. It says, and he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man. The old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that sprang from delusion. That's talking about your flesh, who you were, you, who you used to be and your flesh. And now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given unto you. By every revelation that's been given unto you. How many know this would be a pretty good revelation that's given to us all? Possibly one of the greatest revelations of the whole New Testament is who we are in Christ. And that just simply means if I said possibly one of the greatest revelations of the New Testament is your identification with Christ, that's what I'm saying. Your new identity. Because of your union with him. Let's put that back again. 23, thank you. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. Now verse 24. Look at this, verse 24. And to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within. Embrace the glorious Christ within. Embrace it. Embrace the truth of the glorious Christ within. You in Christ and Christ in you. You in Christ and Christ in you. You in Christ and Christ in you. Be transformed. This is how we transform. By embracing the glorious Christ within as your new life. And live in union with him. Live in union with him. You can't even see you anymore. All you see is him. People can hear you, but they see him. That's what he wants. Huh. Glory to God. That's what the Father wants. And be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within, as your new life, and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. Well, Pastor Chris, I just believe when we get to heaven, we'll be righteous and holy. Well, God would appreciate you believe what he said about that. And he said, you're that right now if you're in Christ, righteous and holy. Matter of fact, if you're not righteous and holy before you go or before you die, you won't get to heaven because you have to be righteous and holy to get there. And you can only get there through one way, by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, your faith in Christ gets you in there, and because the blood of Jesus washes you and I from all of our past, all of our sin, and puts us in Christ where we have a brand new life, a brand new identity, and everything that's in Christ is true about Christ becomes true about you and I. So by identifying with Christ, when I say I identify with Christ. Remember the slide 3? It says, I fight the good fight of faith by identifying with Jesus Christ in his victory over Satan. Whose victory over Satan? Jesus' victory over Satan. But because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, whose victory is it? It's mine. I fight the good fight of faith by identifying with Jesus Christ in his triumph over Satan and the victory and all that salvation he's given me. So notice this, by identifying with Christ, you are saying, or when you say, I identify with Christ, you are saying what's true of Christ is true of you. You believe God sees you and treats you as one of the same. You know, in the world we live in today, there's a lot of people saying that I identify as this. You know, a person may identify as I'm not trying to be mean, but listen, they may be a man, but they say, well, I'm a woman. One day they're a woman, one day they're a man, the next week they're a cat. What they're saying is, that's who I say I am. They say, this is my identity. I saw this real funny video one time, trying to drive that point home to everybody. Say, woke is broke. Woke is broke. That's woke talk right there. In other words, you don't know who you are. And so, you know, anyway, so this guy got on a video and he says, well, you know, I'm real upset. He was faking the cry. He was being very sarcastic. But he said, you know, today I woke up and I identified as a lawyer. And I identified as a law firm, as a partner of this law firm down the street. And I just want you to know, I went there today and I told them. I knocked on the door. They said, yeah, can I help you? I said, yeah. Today, I just want you to know I identify as a lawyer and the third partner of your law firm. And how many know they probably did the same thing you just did, laugh, you quack. And then he began to cry because they laughed in his face and said, man, get out of here. Because that's silly. And think about this, a whole culture that tried to embrace or try to get us to think that we're bigoted, narrow-minded, because we saw the foolishness of that. You're not that because you say, I identify with that. Just because you say you identify as a man and you're a woman doesn't make you a man. But you know what? Where that comes from? It comes from a counterfeit of Satan. Because the truth is, God made a way in Christ that we actually do identify with him. And we become exactly who he is by our identical confession of faith. In other words, we are saying, when we say I identify with Christ in his triumph over Satan and all that salvation give me, I'm saying what's true about Christ. When I identify Christ with, I mean this. I'm saying whatever's true about Christ is true about me. Hallelujah. I'm saying what is true of Christ is true of me. It's true of you. You believe God sees and treats you as one and the same. This is how you and I are to fight the good fight of faith, by identifying with Jesus Christ. And by doing so, you are again saying, when you say identify with Jesus Christ, what you are saying is, you're not loony, you are saying what's true about Christ. You understand what's true about Christ is true about you. But you are saying, when I say I identify with Christ, I am saying, what belongs to Christ belongs to me because I'm identified with him. That's what it means to be identified with Christ. So we are to operate in or from a brand new identity. This new place in Christ, which is a place of triumph and of victory. The stand of faith that I must take is from my place in Christ. So the stand of faith that you and I are to take must be from my place in Christ or my identity in Christ. I understand now I have the same identical life, the same identical righteousness, the same identical inheritance, the same identical triumph, the same identical victory as Jesus Christ. Because of my union with Christ, or because of my identification with Christ. That's what it means to be identified with Christ. So listen, this is what we'll put up, slide 5. I'm almost finished. It says, slide 5 says this. So I'm not fighting for the victory, but actually from the place of or with the victory I already possess or have in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it again. So this means, when you understand your identity in Christ, you understand you are not fighting for the victory, but actually from a place of, in other words, a stand of faith. Yeah. Or with the victory that you already have or already possess in Christ. Because remember, whatever's in Christ is now in you because you're in Christ. And everything that God has in Christ is right here, and that he put us in him. When we understand that we're identified with that, that changes everything. It should change how we think. It should change how we talk. And until it does, we won't be changed, because that's how we're transformed, through this revelation. So I'm fighting means, when it says I'm fighting, means the stand of faith. The stand of faith with the victory. I'm not trying to get it. I already got it. It means I'm fighting means the stand of faith that I have in the place of victory that I have in Christ. That's what I'm fighting. I'm fighting to not be moved from that. I'm not trying to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. I'm standing because I possess a place in Christ that I'm not to be moved from, but I'm to operate from and in. That's the fight, to not move from that place. The fight is not to be swayed from that place, not to try anything else, because we don't have to defeat the devil. We just have to enforce his defeat. Jesus has already defeated him. That's why I say I do this by identifying with Jesus Christ in his triumph over Satan. It's this stand in this place of triumph, in this place of victory. Amen. So in Christ, you are a new creation. But you are also, amen, the triumphant. You're also the victorious. Am I right? Is Christ victorious? Yes. Is he triumphant? Yes. Then if you're in him, then you are. But let us know this. Be sure of this. You're not only a new creation, but you're also the healed. You're the redeemed. You're the deliverer. The question is, will you say so? See, God sees us that way. That's what actually God calls us and says about us. Where does he say that again? In all the in Christ scriptures. But what will we see and say? See, this is why we need a revelation, because revelation is always tied back to spiritual sight. Understanding by spiritual sight what God sees and says about us. Amen. And God is waiting for us to see and agree with him. Because how can two walk together except they agree? Amos 3:3. So when you're identified with Christ, it means you believe whatever is true about Christ now is true about you. When you say, I identify with Christ, you are actually saying, let's flip it. What is the word? Like a man says, I identify as a woman today. And we know that's foolish, but what he's saying is, he is saying, I'm actually become a woman. We know that's foolish. But I'll tell you what's not foolish is when you identify with Christ, you're saying whatever's true about Christ is true about me. When you say I identify with Christ, you are saying I have taking on his identity. I am who he is in the spirit, and that's how God has made me. That's what God has given me, and now that's what you and I can do. When you identify with Christ, it just simply means you believe whatever is true about Christ now is true about you. And this is how and why, when you identify with Christ, you stand in faith. You stand in faith. When you identify with Christ, it is your stand of faith, and you can now boldly confess, I am the healed. You can boldly confess, by His stripes, I am healed right now. Because that's what God says you are in Christ. Who His own self, 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bore your sin, my sin, in His body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live by His righteousness. By His stripes you are healed. You are healed. You are healed. Not trying to be. The stand of faith says, I'm in Christ. Christ has all the healing, and I have it because He's had it. I have it because I'm in Him. I'm not trying to get it. I'm not fighting for it. I'm fighting from this place as a stand of faith with the victory that I already possess in Christ, and that's why I triumph over the enemy, because Christ's triumph is my triumph. That's why I'm healed, because His healing was my healing. That's why I have the victory, and I'm fighting from the victory, not for the victory, because His victory is my victory. There's a big difference than trying to get healed than knowing you are healed and the devil's trying to make you sick. We need to approach every sickness as, no. No, you don't, devil. No, you don't. You're not going to make me sick. You got to approach it that way, because you have to see yourself as the healed, and He's trying to make you sick. But you know what He wants to make you think? That you're the sick, and you got to get healed. Now, you can get healed that way, but it's a whole lot easier when you understand you are the healed, and you take your stand on faith, and He's trying to move you off of that. And you understand that if He can't move me off of this, then I'm not trying to get healed. I'm fighting from the victory, not for the victory. I'm fighting with the victory, not trying to get it. So when I say by stripes I'm healed, I'm putting a resisting effect on the devil. I'm not trying to get it. I'm saying this is who I am, and I'm pushing back. I'm resisting everything. I'm saying no. You're not going to do that to me, devil. You're not going to do that to me, devil. I don't accept that. I only accept who I am. I only accept who I am in Christ. Woo! Glory to God. Then we put up this last verse, and we'll be finished today. Philemon 1:6, it's only one chapter there. And listen to what it says about identification. It says, I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote a full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Jesus Christ and to His glory. So what this is saying is we need to know what our identification is in Christ. In other words, what our identity is and everything because of identity, what we have in Christ because we are identified with Him. The moment we get in union with Christ, we get over whatever's in Christ, and we get a brand new identity. Amen. And whatever is in Christ is in us. This is why it says that the understanding, precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in identification with Jesus Christ. Amen. But notice, it's supposed to produce something. See, once we understand this, it's supposed to produce something, promote a full recognition, appreciation, and understanding, precise knowledge. Here's what it produces. Us not only knowing something, but that's what we're saying. We're saying what God says about us is why we stand and we say, I'm not trying to get healed. I am the healed, and the devil is trying to make me sick. I refuse it. I say, no, devil. I take my stand of faith, and the fight I fight is a faith fight. It's a fight to stay in faith, or the stand of faith I take in Christ. And it's from that place That's the fight that that's the only fight I'm to fight. I don't even fight the devil. I fight to stay in faith. I resist him. I exercise authority over him. I say no to him, and I enforce his defeat and the victory that Jesus has already provided for me. Staying with me, if you're at home today, wherever you're sitting, why don't you stand and lift your hands to heaven and begin to thank God. Begin to thank God for your identification with Christ. Father, we thank you today for identification with Christ. We thank you, Father God, for what you said about us today in Christ. Help us by revelation of the Holy Ghost to see ourselves this way. Help us not for one moment to view ourselves from the past, but see ourselves now in Christ and what we have and what we possess and what we can do because of we are of him. Lord, we'll swim in this. We'll immerse ourselves in this. We'll think about it. We declare it, oh God, and we thank you that you're teaching us to war a good warfare, which is the stand of faith, to not be moved by any opposing thought, word, action, deed, or person that would try to convince us otherwise, because we see ourselves in Christ. We see ourselves as you see us. We thank you for our union with. We thank you for our uniting and our identity in Christ. And Father, I pray for the people of God today. I call them healed. I call them delivered. I thank you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ upon us all, seeing who we are, what we have, and what we can do, possessing our land in Christ, and refusing to move from this place of faith, this place of victory, this place of triumph, this place of healing. We declare it ours right now, and we give you the praise and give you the glory for it right now. For thanks be unto God, which always gives us the triumph in Christ. I call it yours now. Just claim it yours. Just claim it yours. Just claim it yours. Whatever you have need of. Whatever you have need of is healing. God said it's in him and it belongs to you. Just thank him for it right now. Just thank him for it right now. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We give you the praise. We receive from that strength, that stand. We thank you that's who we are. We thank you. We rejoice in every good thing that's ours in Christ Jesus. And we trust the Holy Spirit to continue to unveil, to unfold, to take the things that are of the Father and of Christ and show them to us so clearly that we could never be moved as we continue in them, walk and stand in them by faith. This is who we are. Say, this is who I am. Say it boldly. This is who I am. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. This is what I possess, every good thing in Christ. This is what I can do. This is the authority I have. I can live for God, and I exercise authority over an already defeated foe. And because I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, thanks be unto God, I have his triumph. I'm not trying to get it. I got it. And I thank you for it now. Lift a shout of praise up to him today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God good? Now, back at the healing center table, they've got this sheet. I'm sure if you don't have one, you'll get one today. You can do your own Bible study there. Praise the Lord. Make sure you come back tonight. Pastor Debbie will be ministering on prayer. It's going to be powerful. Before you leave today, say this to somebody. Christ sure looks good on you. Go ahead and do that. Two or three people around you today. Thank you for being here.